Welcome to Career Tools. Our guidance on political errors, chapter 2, snubbing an ally. Okay, so Wendy, we're continuing our discussion about politics, one of my favorite topics. I was horrible at politics until I decided they were important. And then I got really good really fast. And now I think about them far too much. And as I've said many, many times in front of many, many audiences, when managers and individual contributors look up at the top of their organization, what you call politics, those people at the top call collaboration. And a lot of people talk down about politics, but it is a fact of life. Dean Horstman's law of organizational conflict is the definition of conflict is two human beings in the same county. And the definition of politics is three human beings in the same county. There are favors, and you know, you do things for each other, and you scratch each other's backs. But the fact is, somehow we've made that into a terrible thing in the workplace, which is a dumb idea, but that idea has kind of taken hold. So, what should we do?
We ought to be supporting the people around us. We ought to be building the relationships, and part of the relationships is understanding the politics of who those people have relationships with and who you want to get relationships with, and just thinking about the whole thing more holistically. But in this class, we're going to talk about something you might do by accident, which is have an ally, have made a relationship with someone, have somebody on your side by having given them a favor or having returned favors over some time, and then accidentally you somehow don't support them. And then, of course, the relationship is...
is challenged, is pinched,
exactly,
right?
Yeah. Exactly. And depending on what it is and how big a deal it is and how long the relationship's got on, it can be a proper fracture, or it can just be, you know, do that differently next time.
Right. Well, in fact, when you talk about a proper fracture, you're essentially alluding to which is a classic meme or concept in organizational or relationship life called the pinch crunch model, which is relationships have pinches, and if you don't renegotiate, if you don't readdress things, those pinches can build up to a crunch where you have to essentially fundamentally revisit the relationship or it ends. And I think perhaps the most important thing for me in this guidance is the issue of the ally versus the friend. And here is, I think, a fundamental problem for people. They don't understand that their natural emotional connection to other people, the natural friendship and the currency of friendships, which is confidentiality or secrets, or let's put it this way, off-the-record communications, and doing favors and showing concern for one another, that is, politically speaking, an ally. Someone who cares about you and is willing to do stuff for you is an ally. And so if you're worried that you shouldn't be listening to this cast because you don't think of yourself as having any allies, start with your friends. They're your allies. Now, we're not talking about your boss necessarily, but ally is just the political term for someone with whom you have a good, a professional, or even a personal relationship, and you can count on them to help you. And I just think too many people don't realize that they feel they let down a friend, but gee, Wendy, I didn't snub an ally, when in fact you and I would both go, oh yeah, you did.
You totally you did.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. So what's our guidance? I can imagine it's easy because I've done this a lot. And groveling, groveling is involved.
You have accidentally snubbed people.
I'm quite certain I've done it on purpose, in fact. And, well, look, define on purpose, though. If a friend of mine needs support and I make a determination that something else is more important, I'm not snubbing him on purpose, but I'm aware that I've essentially snubbed him.
You're choosing a consequence.
Yeah, exactly. And look, I just like in the movie Pretty Woman, groveling is involved.
It is. You're right. The first thing is to apologize.
Good.
And the second thing is to promise better support in the future. And then the third thing is to actually give that better support.
Gee, this sounds easy. Like Friendship 101. Yeah. And guys, it doesn't sound hard. It doesn't sound hard. But I got to tell you, you get over the first hump and the other two are easier. But too many people don't go back and revisit the pinch. Mm-hmm. And politics, are not like friendships identically, and they wither faster, and time moves more quickly in the professional world. Okay, so first step, apologize.
Apologize. And it doesn't matter what the reason is that there is damage in the relationship. It doesn't matter whether it's this, that you accidentally or on purpose snubbed them, or it doesn't matter if there was something else, if you know, broke their email or broke their favorite coffee cup or said something you shouldn't have done about them to someone else, anything that you do that harms another person, you should apologize. And apologizing is to say, I understand that I did wrong. It's not saying you're better than me because you've never done something wrong, or I'm kowtowing to you, or I'm small. It's all it's saying is I'm acknowledging that I harmed you.
Yeah, you're right. And even if it's not your fault, even if there were completely legitimate reasons why you had to do what you ended up doing, you still pay homage to the relationship.
Yes. And that thing of saying I'm sorry for when you don't think it's your fault. If you start that sentence, you can find where your fault was.
Yep.
Because often it's not just one person that causes
right.
a problem. It's both of you. You both could have acted differently.
Good.
So in this case, we're thinking about times where you didn't support someone who was your ally. So let's say a peer who generally supports you has a great idea. So usually he supports your ideas. So, and it's a great idea. So he would expect you to support his
right.
idea.
Yeah.
And he's going to present it to the VP, and he's been around, he's pre-wired everyone. He's told them about the idea. He's got everybody on board, including you. And there's this little flaw that you can see in the plan, but the rest of it is great. And you say to him, it's a great idea. I think the VP is going to love it. If everybody else is on board, I'm on board. There's that little thing I think you should change, and you could do this or this. But, you know, apart from that, I'm on board.
Right.
And unfortunately, he misunderstands your definition of a little flaw, and he leaves it in the presentation.
Yeah. In fact, you're trying to be respectful for the overall idea, and you said there's one tiny thing I might want to work on. And what you're basically saying is, you got to get this out of there.
Exactly. And that misunderstanding, and as we've just said, there's fault on both sides. You didn't communicate well. He didn't listen well.
Yeah. And us IDs would say, why would you call it a little flaw if you wouldn't leave it in there? Why wouldn't you just say, dude, you need to take that out? And then the guy could say, well, I'm going to leave it in. Okay. Forewarned is forearmed. And now, by the way, if you don't get what you want and you leave it in and I told you, dude, you got to take that out. Now, you know, I might commiserate with you, but I'm not going to apologize to you for not doing the supportive thing. Anyway, okay. But your situation is different. You know, there's some miscommunication and the VP hammers it, right?
Yeah. You know, when you go into a meeting and somebody picks on that thing that you thought was a really small
yeah.
thing, and somehow they see that as an indication of the entire project. If those scents aren't right on that line, then everything must be wrong.
Right.
And, you know,
if we don't clean the trays, the seat back trays in our airline before every flight, people assume our maintenance is not done well. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the VP gets fixated on this little flaw. She can't see that the rest of the plan is great. She gets really irate, and you think the best plan here is to keep my head down and let it blow over. Because, you know, everybody usually blows up and then calms down again.
Right.
So you think, all right, I'm going to wait till she's calm and everything blows over. And so once you get out of the meeting, of course, your peer says, what happened? I thought you were on my side. Like, I thought you were with me. You said it was a little flaw and it could be fixed. So why didn't you speak up? Like, you just left me there hanging in the wind. And to be fair,
he's right. Yeah.
Yeah, you protected yourself rather than speaking up and protecting him.
But now you realize, Wendy, that the moment we said that, he's right, asking you, why didn't you speak up? There are 25%, if not 50% of the audience is saying, no, I don't have to do that. No, I don't have to throw myself under the bus for somebody else. I did what was reasonable under the circumstances. The VP was blowing up. I'm not going to jump in front of a charging rhino to save my buddy when I didn't. It wasn't my idea. And therein lies the beginning of your weakness as a politician, and mine as well for many years. Like, it's every man for himself. Well, that's not the way organizations or human beings or societies or cultures or towns or villages or communities or families work. No. They just don't.
They don't. He thought you were with him, and
yeah,
you left him.
And maybe you saying something could have calmed the VP down, but you didn't do it.
No. So, and you know, you had solutions because you suggested them to your mate. So if you'd have said, hey, I can see there's something there, and I understand, VP, why you're angry, but hey, if we do this and this, will that resolve it? And she'd have said yes and calmed down, but you didn't give anyone a chance to hear them.
Yep. And in the mind of your buddy, who you've now snubbed, he's thinking, you didn't stand up for me. And you were thinking, I'm not going to stand up for him because that benefits me. And so, yeah, that's the crux of the problem. And folks, if you're thinking you're justified in this situation, not standing up for them, we won't argue with you. We would like to suggest to you that there is a more interdependent way of going through organizational and political life. But even so, we know that you're going to miss some of those, and as have we. And so therefore, we're telling you what to do when you inevitably mess it up because you're selfish rather than team-based for a brief moment.
Yeah. And I've done this 1,000 times. I might not have done it. Yeah, I've done it deliberately, but I've also done it 1,000 times because I'm completely unaware and I talk without thinking and I'm politically not always thinking. And so I have found the best way to get rid of the situation is to apologize. And we have guidance about, there's a cast called How to Apologize, so you can listen to that. But the important thing is not to say if. So you don't say, I apologize if you didn't feel supported.
Oh, it's even, there's another one though. You see, that's the important thing. But there's another if, there's another non-apology that goes as an apology, that because the most common place that we see apologies today or on TV by political leaders, and they all think self-responsibility is toxic when it comes to ideas and so on, at least in the U.S. And so I apologize if, that's one. And then I apologize you. I apologize you didn't feel supported. I apologize you got in a difficult situation. I apologize you couldn't understand why I wouldn't do what you wanted me to do. Right? Every apology that starts with I apologize you is wrong. And every apology that starts with I apologize if is wrong. I apologize if you didn't feel supported suggests that there is a possibility a reasonable person would have felt supported, and therefore your ally may in fact be behaving unreasonably. Yeah. It's like, my gosh.
That's not a way to be friends, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, let alone an ally. Yeah, a political
exactly.
ally. Yeah.
So it's, I'm sorry I didn't support you.
Yeah. I'm sorry I didn't speak up. It was wrong. I apologize.
Either.
Yeah.
And no hedging, no softening, no making yourself feel better.
Yeah.
Because this isn't about making you feel good. It's about making them feel good.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'll tell you, generally speaking, when it comes to apologies, less commas, guys. I'm sorry. I didn't support you. I was wrong. As opposed to, hey, I'm really sorry. I know you wanted me to support you, and I really feel bad about that, and I hope you'll forgive me. And gosh, that was just dumb. And, comma, and.
Exactly.
It sounds insincere, frankly.
Yeah. It's like the feedback model, right? Faster is better.
Yep. Faster,
the more words
simpler.
You put in,
yep.
The worse it gets.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And more people could do more better by apologizing more often, in my experience.
I have to say, not apologizing has done me harm. Apologizing has never done me harm.
Right, never. Not one time. Yeah.
Okay, so the next thing you need to do is to promise to support that person better in the future. You've got to give them some reason to trust that, or to believe that you understand what you did wrong and that you're going to behave differently in the future. And the trust, part of trust is you act in the way that someone expects you to. So if Mark says, we have a meeting tomorrow and it's going to start at 10 o'clock and it's going to start on time. I trust that it's going to start on time. If he says he's going to talk to Mike about me having a pay rise, then I trust that he's going to do that. Because every other thing that he says he's going to do for me, he does for me. So I carry on trusting him. Right. But when you didn't support your friend, when maybe he assumed you were going to and you didn't actually promise to, but whatever, when you didn't support him when he expected to you to, that trust was broken.
Right.
And you can justify that.
You could. Right? Oh, you could. That's about what I was going to say. You could. You can justify anything if you want to.
Oh,
and we always do, right?
We do. We do. And when you're getting really wound up about a situation, I find like that's always, I'm justifying myself. Like, wait, yeah. that could possibly be right.
We judge other people by their behaviors. We judge us by our intent. And raise your hand, folks, if you made a mistake in the last month. Now, keep your hand up if you intended to make it. Well, there's your answer. Nobody intends to make mistakes, but they do, in fact, make them. And so, therefore, the reasons why you make mistakes are always pretty good. So, therefore, you can always justify your behavior. It always makes sense to you. People rarely act in ways counter to their own interests, but you have competing interests. It's literally the nature of politics, even world and geopolitical issues. World politics, national politics, are all the issues of competing interests. It's like comparing two things that are unlike. It's one thing to compare an apple and an orange. It's another thing to compare an apple and a house.
Mm-hmm.
You can at least have a discussion about the apple and orange and the types of fruit or vegetable they are and the colors and the taste and so on. But an apple and a house is a very different thing. And that's where we have problems when we start thinking about the benefit to us versus the benefit to somebody else, or the idea that they have versus the hurt to us. And that makes it easy for us to do what makes sense for us in the short term, but in fact can be detrimental in the long term. And that's why the art of politics is being satisfied with less than what you want, because you have to let other people get what they want in order to maintain relationships with them. And if this curls your toes, if you don't like this, folks, stay out of executive life, or don't ever strive to be an executive with the idea that you're going to change it, because executives have been around for a long time and you're not the person that's going to change it. People are people. They're fairly predictable about politics.
I had a flat head from banging my head against brick walls until I learned this stuff. And I really didn't want to do it. I just knew that it had a better outcome and my head didn't get flat.
So. Yeah.
So you're going to say to your buddy, I'm sorry, I didn't support you. I let you down. I'm going to give you my full support in future. And hopefully your ally will accept your apology. There's a difference between accepting your apology and the trust being back.
Right.
Because the trust is still
not
in
back.
Actions.
Right. It's not back. No,
you haven't acted yet.
Yeah. The situation is not equalized the moment you apologize. The apology is just a commitment to equalize. People miss this. They apologize. The other person says, of course, dude, I understand. She was on a rant. And then the person mistakenly sees the situation as cleared. The decks are cleared. It's a wash. I made a mistake and I apologized. Tit for tat. Oh, no. No. You made a mistake in activity, and now you're attempting to make up for it with a statement in verbiage. It doesn't work that way. What you say and what you do are two different classes of things, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you have to. The statement is essentially an entree. It's an emotional appeal to say, give me a chance to earn back the trust our relationship had before when we were allies. It's not that you're not allies now, but there's a question mark or an asterisk. You're the Roger Maris of allies. And so it's actions and not words that matter.
There's a stage that little children go through where they'll do something right in front of you that they know they're not supposed to do, and then they'll immediately say sorry. It's like they don't understand that the word, there's something more than just the word.
Right, yeah.
It's not, that doesn't absolve you.
But they know that's what you're supposed to do,
exactly.
But they don't understand. Yeah, exactly.
So you're grown-ups, you're supposed to be a bit better than that.
Are you suggesting that all of our listeners are grown-ups?
I think they're older than three.
Well, I'm kidding. Of course, there are days when I'm not a grown-up, right? That's part of the problems we get into at work.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Okay.
So the last part is to actually give better support. You've got to do the actions that rebuild the trust.
Yep.
That mean that your ally is going to be, you're going to be allies again. And there is a risk. There's always risk in allying yourself with one person rather than another. Or allying yourself with multiple people, and those people all not being sure about whether or not your allegiance is sound.
Yeah, the point that you can't be everybody's friend. You can't support every idea. And there are about 10% of the people who are like, no, I want to be. Yes, well, you want to be, but that doesn't mean you can.
Yeah. And at some stage, every team that has too many ideas has to start cutting. And you have to be willing to go to your friend and say, before they go to the VP and say, I don't think this is a good idea, or this is a great idea, and I really think you need to fix this piece before you go see the VP, which is a more powerful message than it's a tiny little flaw. You'll be willing to have that pinch there of saying it's a great idea, and rather than the crunch of, dude, you let me down. That's not good.
Yeah, I'll tell you, most people don't need to be told when they've let someone down. You know it. And if you're feeling that and then you don't go apologize, somebody else probably knows that you're feeling that way. The lack of an apology is a double whammy, because you don't do the first step, and they probably believe the second step of acting on the apology and the commitment is also not coming, which is how things turn into crunches, frankly.
So if you have an ally, support them in public, or talk to them in private about why you're not going to be able to support them before you go to a meeting or whatever, before they go to the VP, before something happens that's public and then they get hammered for it and you can't support them. That's one of those public-private things. People don't need to know that you two having a quiet conversation is a million times better than you not supporting them in public later.
Yeah, I'll just tell you, your emotional state around relationships is a good indicator of the kind of behaviors you need to engage in. Other than anger, you know, that feeling of disappointment or, oh, gosh, he's suffering now. You need to say something. You're probably fairly well attuned. Some people less so, some people more so, but most people aren't not completely out of tune. So good. Hopefully we've motivated some people to apologize and take the right steps to recover from the inadvertent or advertent snubbing of an ally. Okay, so sum up for us.
So the first thing you're going to do is apologize. You're going to promise better support in the future, and then you're actually going to give them better support, which means telling them in private when you're not going to support them, and then supporting them in public.
Good.
And everybody has allies and enemies, right? You can't be in a workplace without having allies and enemies.
Yeah, right.
Enemies is probably too strong a word, but you want more allies than enemies, and that part of that is supporting them when you can.
Yeah, and I think there are too many times where people are so worried about themselves, they don't realize they have an easy opportunity to create a new ally by supporting someone, as long as their idea isn't diametrically opposed to yours. And there'll be a cast for that in the politics series in the future, I'm sure.
Indeed.
Okay, thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
That's it, everybody. It's going to happen to you in your career. You might as well know how to handle it. Come back next week on Career Tools. See you then.